Prayer is a very significant part of the Christian life. Prayer is just as important as, I guess, any aspect that a Christian needs to involve himself in. A Christian without a good prayer life is like a carpenter without his tools, or a musician without his instrument. When you look at the Bible, you'll find out that great men and women of the Bible have always been great men and women of prayer. We think of Abraham, how that Abraham pleaded with God in behalf of Sodom in Genesis chapter 18. You think of people like Moses, who among many other things, prayed for guidance in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 13. I'm reminded of Samuel, who on one occasion prayed all night in behalf of Saul. Kind of reminds me, I wonder, when's the last time we prayed all night? When's the last time something has troubled us so much we were so concerned about that we were willing to give our whole night in prayer? David is said to have set before the Lord in prayer in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. Jesus Christ, our perfect example, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, was one who prayed often. And I believe one of the lectures this week is the prayer life of Jesus. And I don't know that you could have a greater study than the prayer life of Jesus. And He being our perfect example should be one who we should emulate. And if Jesus recognized the need and the value of prayer, how much more should we also recognize and value the great opportunity that we have to approach the Almighty God in prayer? You know, if you just stop and think about it, it's a very awe-inspiring thing. I can talk to God. And so can you. The apostles and the early church also were ones who prayed often. The early church, we're told, continued steadfastly in prayers, Acts 2 and verse 42. And the apostles told of their need to give themselves continually unto prayer, Acts 6 verses 1 through 4. Prayer is important. And I believe that every faithful child of God will understand that and will give themselves to prayer. The Bible is very specific when it tells us that prayer is to be done. It's commanded. We need to pray. We are told to pray. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, it says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." Samuel realized it would be a sin for him not to pray for Saul. We need to pray for one another. When we fail to pray when we ought to pray, we sin. Prayer is important. And I'm very glad we're having this lectureship on prayer. I know it's helped me to reevaluate my prayer life, especially when you go and look down the various topics that you see. And I believe when we all evaluate our lives properly, we're going to find out we fall way short of our prayer life like we ought to. Pray. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus says, "Men ought always to pray." Do we? In Luke 21 and verse 36, it says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." We are to do everything by prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Continue in prayer, Paul said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. And then we are to give ourselves to prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5. The topic of this hour is watching and deliverance and prayer. And if I'd have got to David soon enough, I'd have asked him to sing that old song, "Watch and Pray." We need to watch and pray. As we consider this topic this afternoon, though, there are two very important things we need to address briefly. Others have, and I'm sure will, discuss this in more detail, but I think it's very important for us to realize this as we enter into this topic of study. First of all, God does answer our prayers. And secondly, there are some things that cause our prayers not to be answered. And we need to be aware of these things as we come to grips with the fact we are to watch and pray. And to pray for deliverance. You know, one of the blessed, most blessed promises available to us is that God promises to answer our prayers. You know, when we make a promise, sometimes we break our promise, don't we? Sometimes we do it on purpose. Sometimes we do it not knowingly. And sometimes we didn't want to, but circumstances just prevented us from keeping our promise. But God makes a promise and He's going to keep it. And in that, we can have great encouragement knowing that God promises to answer our prayer. In Psalm 91, verse 15, it says, He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver. I will honor him. God will answer us. Now, as been pointed out, it may not always be the answer we want, or when we want it, or how we want it, but He will answer. In Isaiah chapter 58, and verse 9, it says, Then shalt thou call, and Jehovah shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and He will say, Here I am. God's here. He's here to help us. He's here to answer our prayers. Look with me in your Bibles in Luke chapter 11. In verse 9 it says, And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Do you believe it? Ask, seek, knock. God will answer. He'll answer our prayers. In John chapter 15, in verse 7, notice here what Jesus says. He says, If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, it shall be done unto you. God will answer our prayers. But there are sometimes things that will cause our prayers to go unanswered. You know, sometimes we're told always in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 37 that disobedience will cause our prayers not to be answered. Secret sin, in Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, will be that which will cause your prayers not to be answered. And if we will not give heed to God's law, Proverbs 28 and verse 9, our prayers will go unanswered. If our hands are full of blood, Isaiah 1 verse 15, our prayers will not be answered. If we have unforgiven sin, Isaiah 59 verse 2, God will not hear. Stubbornness will prevent our prayers from being heard. Zechariah 7, verses 12 and 13. Instability, James 1, verses 6 and 7. And selfishness, James 4 and verse 3, will prevent our prayers from being answered. God hears. God will answer. But we realize that we have a part to play in all of this. So notice this. The Bible says, watch and pray. I'd like with you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew to begin with. And we're going to notice here various passages that tell us that we have a great need to be people who watch and pray. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, it says, Watch and pray. That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Notice also in your Bibles in Mark chapter 13. In Mark chapter 13, there in verse 33, it says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Watch, be alert, and pray while you do it. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 38, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Again, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's amazing to me, as you begin to look at the Bible and all that it has to say about our needing to watch, how many times prayer is associated with that word watch. In Luke chapter 21, in verse 36, it says, "But watch ye at every season, making supplication that ye may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Watch. Be alert. And pray. Notice again as you look in the book of Ephesians at chapter 6, in verse 18, Paul says, "With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Watch. In Colossians chapter 4, in verse 2, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving." You would think the Bible wants us to watch and pray, don't you? Wouldn't you? Watch and pray. What does the Bible writers speak about, or what do they mean when they say we are to watch? Metaphorically, it means to give strict attention to be cautious, to be active in giving attention to something. It is to be on guard, to abstain from sleep. It means to be spiritually alert. I come to the realization a while back what it really means to watch and the fearfulness that will come if one is not watching. I have a 16-year-old daughter, and you know what that means. Driver's license. And when she drives down the road, she wants everybody to see her. And so she's looking around and wants to see who's looking at her. She wants everybody to say, "Hey, Brandy Moore's driving, look at me." And I get in a car with her and I'm fearful because she's not watching the road. And I says, "Watch out!" And she's watching everything but where she ought to be watching. Looking in a mirror, fixing her hair, but not watching. Many times we're kind of like that in a spiritual sense, aren't we? We watch everything in the world except what we ought to be watching. You know, watching is kind of like a military guard. A military guard watches for the enemy. And they have their post. And they're to keep close eye to make sure there's no enemies approaching. They're not to leave their post. They're not to sleep at the post. And depending on what army you might have been in, if you were in a good army, you would be killed if you were found sleeping at the post. You know what? We'll be killed if we sleep at the post. Spiritual death. Satan will kill us. We'll die if we fall asleep at the post. But what are we supposed to be watching for? Watch and pray. Well, watch for what? What are we to be alert for? And how is this to be done? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that our watching must be constant. You know, one of the things my wife accuses me of, he says, "You keep your eye more on the side than you do on the road." She says, "You're always looking at other places while you're going instead of keeping your eyes on the road." But you know, in a spiritual sense, we are to always keep our eyes watching and not let our eyes stray away from where we ought to be watching for. Constant watching. Notice with me in your Bibles in the book of Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44, it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what day your Lord cometh. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched, and he would have not suffered the house to be broken through. Therefore be ye also ready, for in an hour that ye think not the Son of Man cometh, he will come." We as God's people need to always, constantly be watching. Woe be unto us if we fall asleep while we ought to be watching. The Bible says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We've always got to be abounding in His work, and part of that involves watching. And as we've already mentioned a moment ago, in Matthew 26, verse 41, this watching must be done with prayer. Now notice this. Since we are to be involved in constant watching, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42, and since Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, we are to pray without ceasing, what does that tell us about prayer and watching? We should always be praying as we watch. We need to be very careful that we do not allow our watching to be hindered. You'll notice in your Bibles in Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 34, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest happy your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness." I always have a trouble with that word. Not drunkenness, but the other word. "And cares of this life, and that the day come on you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come upon you that dwell on the face of all the earth. But watch ye at every season, making supplication, that ye may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man." Notice he says, don't allow the cares of this life to hinder you from watching. You know, it does that for a lot of people. We should not allow anything in this life to keep our attention from where it ought to be. Just like when my daughter is driving that car, she should not let the attention of those boys who are over there whistling at her to keep her eyes off that road. By the way, when they whistle, I always beat them up too. Watch. And don't allow anything to keep you from watching. You'll notice in your Bibles in the book of Hebrews at chapter 12. In Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1 there, it says, "Therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." Anything that's going to cause you to not watch, the Hebrew writer says, get rid of it. But don't allow anything in this world to keep you from watching. We know that we are to be constant in our watching. We are to pray as we watch. And we are not allowed anything to hinder that watching. But again, what are we to watch out for? What are we to watch for? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13, notice there, it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour." What day? What hour? The day or the hour when the Lord might come. You know, the Lord could come today. Might be tomorrow. It might be 100 years from now or 10,000 years from now. We don't know. We don't have a guarantee. The Bible says He comes like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. And so He says, you be watching and be ready. So if He comes this very moment, you are ready. And if you're not watching and He does come, what then? It'd be a sad day. Always be watching. Always be ready. You'll notice in your Bibles in the book of Revelation chapter 16. In Revelation chapter 16 verse 15 it says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We will be a very fortunate people if we are watching when the Lord comes. We're watching for that glorious day. Life is too short. Life is too unpredictable. And so we must always be watching, always be ready for the coming of Christ. But notice also that we need to watch out for Satan. You know, he's a pretty rough character. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9 it says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. The devil is like a roaring lion walking about. He wants to devour you. He wants to consume you. He wants to send you to hell. And so you've got to be watching for him. You've got to be ready. You've got to be alert. And soon as we turn our back, he'll be there to stab us. You know, the devil doesn't have to work on people in the world, does he? He's already got them. The ones he has to work on are you and I. Be ready. Be watchful. Satan has many snares. And I guess the one that is the most horrible of all in my mind is that he has the snares of false doctrine. And we need to be aware and to be watchful. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they shall not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears, will heap to themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. Paul told Timothy, it's coming. And it's come. And it's been around a long time. And we need to be watchful. Be ready. Be alert. I want you to notice in your Bibles, as you look over in the book of Acts for a moment, look at Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders. He says, take heed unto yourselves, beginning in verse 28, and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit made you bishops to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. He says, I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Notice now. Therefore, watch ye, remembering that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to admonish everyone night and day with tears. He says, beloved, among your own selves, among the eldership, they were going to depart from the faith. And so he says, you be watchful. You be alert to this fact. You protect the flock. You know, it's sometimes I'm a accused of being overly cautious of people. And I hate to do that, but we live in a day and time where we have to be. I want to trust people. But it's almost to the point that there's so much liberalism going on, it's hard to trust people unless you talk with them first. We need to be watchful. We need to be ready and not allow these evils to enter in among us. But not only that, we need to watch out for temptation. You know, Jesus told Peter that the devil desires to have you and sift you as wheat. Not me, Peter said. I'll never deny. He's not going to get me, but what happened? He got him. He wasn't watchful. You know, when Peter was around all of his brethren, he was strong, wasn't he? But when he was out by himself, he put down his guard. He wasn't watching. He denied the Lord. And then guess who was watching him when he denied? You know, that's one of the most awe-stricken pictures I've ever had in my mind is when Peter denied the Lord and see the Lord looking at him. Be watchful. The devil is going to try to tempt us and our weak points. He's not going to try to hit us where we're strong, is he? He's not that dumb. He's going to come in on the blind side, and he's going to try to hit us where we're weak. He's not going to come to Tom Moore and try to tempt Tom Moore to drink alcoholic beverages, because that won't work. He might try to tempt him with banana pudding, but it's not going to be alcohol. Satan knows where we're weak, and that's where he's going to strike. So you be watchful in your weak areas. And you have enough wisdom and enough knowledge to know in the areas where you're weak at, and that's where you be extra watchful. Extra care needs to be filled right there as you watch. We also need to watch for opportunity. You know, sometimes opportunity is hard to see. You know why? Because it goes around disguised as hard work. I've heard it said that sometimes Christians are like blisters. They always show up after the work's done. We've got to be alert. Be watchful for opportunity. Who are to be on watch? Well, we know the elders are to be on watch because they watch for our souls, Hebrews 13, verse 7. They have to be extra watchful, extra careful about what goes on in the congregation, about who they bring in to preach, about what the preacher teaches, about who's teaching in the Bible classes. Be watchful because they watch for our souls. We as preachers and teachers also need to be watchful. Be not many teachers, for ye shall receive the greater condemnation. You know, that's a passage that I try to look at very often and think of before I get up before people to speak, because I need to be very watchful for what I say and speak. Because we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, take heed to thyself and to thy teaching, continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Be watchful. And parents need to be watchful. Sometimes my children think I'm getting into their business. You know what I tell them? It's my business to get into your business. We need to watch out for our children. You know, they think, you know, I guess they've got that sophomore mentality. They think they know everything. They're all wise, and mom and dad don't know anything. We got to be watchful for them. Not allow them And your mom and dad didn't tell me to say this either back there. But be watchful for your children. If we're not watchful, we're going to end up like the five foolish virgins who weren't ready when the Lord came. But on the other hand, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 37, we are told we are going to be blessed if we are found watching when the Lord comes. Watch and pray. Now very quickly, we need to pray for deliverance. The Bible gives us an example of prayers given for deliverance. David prayed for deliverance from his enemies, Psalm 59 verse 2. Moses prayed for the deliverance of Israel from the death of the fiery serpents, Numbers 21. Hezekiah prayed for deliverance from death in 2 Kings 20. Nehemiah prayed for the deliverance from the criticism of Sanballat in Numbers of chapter 4. Jesus prayed that his disciples be delivered from the evil one in John 17. Paul prayed for the deliverance of a thorn in his flesh, 2 Corinthians 12. We need to realize that we have a divine deliverer. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. God has promised that He will deliver us. You remember the passage in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13? There is no temptation that's not going to come our way that we can't overcome. That He hadn't promised to deliver us and give us a way of escape. Do you believe the promises of God? God will deliver us if we will pray. Watch, pray, praise your deliverer. God will do His part.